It's time for the Power Hour of Love, starring Charboil and
El Bandito. Welcome to the fiesta.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Power Hour of Love, starring Charboil and
El Bandito.
Hey El Bandito, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I had an excellent week myself. How about you?
Oh man, it's been great. El Bandito, we've entered September.
Ooh, what's so special about September?
Well, usually just like a bunch of hurricanes and stuff usually come and try to ravage the Florida coast, but it gets us closer and closer to one of my favorite holidays, Halloween.
Oh, there you go. That's a good holiday. Yeah, let's definitely get past all this hurricane stuff because we had a small hurricane there. It came through for a bit. It kind of wussed out in the end, which is fine. But
yes,
that was our first hurricane to have hit Florida in 11 years, they said.
Well, you know what's funny is that hurricane tried to come near our area. And I just grew big and like totally like just blew that thing away.
I know you did that. That was really cool. I like that. You did that like Hulk clap thing where you clap your hands and then the wind just blew the other way. And you know, those, you know, that, you know, garden, botanical garden thing that kind of whipped away too. That kind of sucked because that was nice. But hey, you know, small price to pay. That hurricane probably would have messed it up anyway.
Oh, you know it, man. You know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But just to correct you real quick. That's a Charboil thing that the Hulk emulates.
I'm sorry. That's my mistake. Yes.
Just to be straight. Trust me, if you get Bruce in here, he'll tell you the same thing.
Then I'm apologizing profusely because I know you've been doing that hand clap thing since the 60s. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's get past hurricanes and all that, like you said. But, you know, speaking of, man, it's getting closer. We did have a nice Labor Day, too, by the way. That was pretty cool, you know. Like you said, not too much
we
rain.
We did. Every Labor Day that passes and there are no more Bendito children, I'm very happy.
Labor Day. Yeah, you know, that is funny because, you know, it's like Labor Day, you know.
No, what's funny is that's a day off. That should be a day you work, Labor Day, right?
It is funny. You know, I think in one of those Word Burglar songs we played a few months back, he did say, it's like Labor Day, but you don't do no labor. But as we were saying, it gets closer and closer to Halloween, October. Awesome. You know, and I kind of started that a little early this year. I got to go and check out the new Rob Zombie film, 31.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds like quite a, you know, scary movie. Mr. Rob Zombie puts some scary stuff together that usually El Bandito stays the hell out of the problem.
Well, I know, man. You know, we were actually, you know, invited to this world premiere, you know, down in Boca Raton. And I know I had asked you, El Bandito, hey, you want to come check out this flick? Which you told me, you know, you were like seeing some sexy woman.
I was busy.
But, you know, I have a feeling, El Bandito, like I know you've told me in the past that the horror genre really isn't your, you know, favorite.
Yeah, well, while it is nice, you know, if you go with the beautiful woman's down to the movie theater and you see a scary movie and you kind of are cuddling in the little chair and you sneak up that little armrest when it leans up into the seat and then the scary monster comes out and she jumps in your lap and everyone's having a good time and that's very nice. But just to watch a movie with yourself or with another man friend and you're just sitting there being scaredified and like cuddling up by yourselves, that's no fun.
Is it weird that Justin McPatches did have the arm up and we were kind of cuddling? Nah, I'm just messing with you.
I absolutely believe that story.
it was a scary film. But yeah, so we went down and we went to this Regency 20 theater. And supposedly they have this like extreme movie experience. I don't know if like the chairs move. I mean, it is like 3D.
Okay.
But we didn't go into that one. They stuck us in like some little side room and stuff, but it was still a very nice theater.
They didn't even use like the main theater auditorium thing?
Well, it's a big one. You got to imagine it's got 20 theaters. So like the front four are like their massive ones.
Gotcha.
But one in particular that you walk by is like a special theater.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
I think they were playing Star Trek Beyond or something in there. So
for the special one, it's like for handicapped peoples and things. You know, they put the braille on there and the little bumps.
And it's an extreme.
Yeah.
But which I totally thought that's where this Rob Zombie film was. You know it's going to be extreme. Extreme, you know, just a quick little recap though of what the, you know, the film itself, you know, you see the trailer, you got a, you know, a group of people, they get kidnapped and they get stuck in this thing called Murder World.
Oh.
And, you know, it's a facility that, you know, there's traps and all kinds of different secret doors and cages falling and stuff. But the main thing is you've got this group of, crazed clowns that are hunting people down.
Okay, Mr. Williams in Fort Myers, go ahead and turn down your radio for a few minutes.
You know, and what was really funny is each of the clowns have a specialty. You know, like they have like a gimmick to them, and they all have like head like attached to their name, like Sick Head, Death Head, Sex Head, stuff like that. So they're, you know,
hey, you know, you can always use a little more head, right?
You know it, man. But I found that to be very interesting. You know, like it really reminded me of like the Warriors and the Running Man.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know, and with a little bit of Saw thrown in there too, because you know, with the traps and stuff.
Sure.
Like
so
that.
It wasn't one of those like boring, long, complicated story movies. It was more just like.
This thing was pretty balls to the wall. Like it got kicking real quick. I mean, in the beginning, of course, like you could tell there was like a certain amount of like character development that he was trying to focus on.
Feel bad when this guy gets killed. Yeah. Feel bad when that guy, no one cares. We just want to see them get chopped up here.
It's funny because they're so stupid or have like something that you don't like about them. Like you almost start to feel like, I'm not going to care when that guy goes down or something. You know, it's just, yeah. But I think that's like the point of a horror movie, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, you're like, oh, that guy's kind of an idiot. So, you know.
Yeah, it just depends on what type of movie, because that is kind of a new like subgenre inside horror. Is like just hating everyone and waiting for them to die. Because I think that all started with what, House of Wax, when they put Paris Hilton in there?
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone went to see it just to see her get killed.
Good point. I didn't even think about that, El Bandito. So you're right, though. Yeah, it was. Like, everyone was just like, yeah, let's just go see her get taken out.
Yeah, and then when they started putting out other movies like the Freddy versus Jason, like you weren't going there to see who would survive. No, you went there to see them kill everyone.
Oh, you know it, and then kill each other, you know? But yeah, so, you know, that's, you know, pretty much the basic premise, you know, is that, you know, these guys get captured, or guys and girls get captured, and then they're put in this death arena,
yeah,
pretty
cool,
much.
Cool, so, okay.
Like I said, yeah, it definitely had the horror elements, too, like, you know, lots of people getting killed and stuff. Without spoiling anything too much, it, you know, like I said, it was more like an action horror movie than like just a straight up like gore fest.
Okay.
Really, a lot of the gore actually took place kind of like off the screen. So it wasn't as like intense as most of his other movies were.
That's
like,
good.
You know,
okay.
So yeah.
Well, so you could still eat popcorn to it.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
That's always good. You know, you go in the theater and you say, oh man, they have an icy machine. I love that. And, you know, 3 minutes into the movie, you know, there's brains and cannonball faces.
Oh,
and you're like, wow, thank my nice red slushy. I don't even want this now.
Absolutely, man. And you know, even the end of the movie, which I'm not going to get into, I did kind of like. Like, it was like, at first, like, you know, like a mid-ending kind of thing happened, and you're like, it's fucking lame, man. It's not really cool.
It was like a teaser ending.
Yeah, but then, like, when it really got to the end, I was like, no, this is acceptable. You know, so I was happy with it.
Sure.
We did get to see a Q&A with Rob Zombie.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the way it was promoted made it really seem like Rob Zombie was going to be there in the flesh.
Mm.
It turned out to be that it was a pre-recorded Q&A.
Oh.
So that was a little like, kind of like, but even still, like he did answer a lot of stuff about the movie.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the questions was how similar the movie was to The Running Man. And I kind of lost a little bit of respect for Rob Zombie because he totally like denies like having any like recollection of The Running Man. You know what
I mean? Well, okay. No. Like, I understand what you're saying, that it's kind of like Chris Nolan saying he never read that DuckTales book that had the exact plot to Inception in it. But then again, no one wants to remember The Running Man.
Oh, totally. I get it. I know The Running Man ain't some like glorious film, but it was just like, dude, there's
the parallels are too obvious.
It's too yeah. He said, Rob Zombie said it, the last time he'd seen The Running Man, he was like 11.
Okay.
And he said, he's like, so I don't even really remember it, but this must have left some subconscious like particles in there, because there's things that too many parallels.
Sure.
But what was really cool is, after all that was said and done, me and Justin McPatches were outside, and we were able to set up a microphone and get some opinions from the different audience members on what they thought of the film.
Oh, okay, great.
So I figured we could play a couple of those now and, you know, kind of get some more opinion than just mine on this.
Okay.
All right, here, check this one out.
Hey, did you guys go see 31, the new Rob Zombie film? What'd you think? Awesome.
I like that. She's just like, oh, that's good.
Pretty much, man. Like, yeah, she, it was funny. She came walking by and I literally caught that little opinion, like, right as she, you know, she was a cute girl and, you know, me and Justin are kind of standing there probably looking like people who were in 31. So she was probably like, yeah, I better just keep moving.
She's like, yeah, well, please don't kill me.
Pretty much, man. But hey, you got to check out this next group that I have. We got a couple millennials over here.
Oh, okay. Let's see who we got.
How you doing tonight? Did you ladies go see 31 tonight? What'd you think?
Oh, man, come on. She said she didn't like it?
Yeah, these girls were definitely a little more like, you know, the first girl was in a rush, but these girls like almost didn't even have time to talk to us.
It's like you said, they're millennials. Yeah, just rude little shits. I would have given them five across the eyes and been like, hey, calm down and sit here.
Well, that was the funny thing. They were definitely dressed like, you know, fans of Rob's.
Oh, figured, wait a minute. This movie was it's rated R, right?
Yes, yes.
So they were over 18?
They were over 18, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would have smacked them for sure. Probably not, like, in their faces, but
yeah, they said they didn't like it, and the other girl says, I don't know why people liked it. So aww. Yeah, they were
a bunch of church girls or something.
Hey, speaking of church girls, we got some from them later on. But yeah, no, they just didn't seem to enjoy it. But hey, the next two bits that we're gonna play are definitely a little more
in tune,
detailed. Yes,
right. Yeah,
what do you guys think?
I thought it was boring.
Really boring? Yeah. Oh man, really?
I thought it was, they could have done a lot more with it for sure.
All right, hey, good old yeah. Stanchion. You gotta appreciate that.
The gore was, well, most of it was off screen. So
kind
of
old school.
I don't know. It just wasn't. They could have done a lot more with it. That's all I can say. All
right.
I definitely felt the realms of like the Running Man and the Warriors with it. You know, with some of the themes.
I liked the Running Man. The Running Man was awesome. You know, they even mentioned that in the making of. But
the Q&A.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was could have been a lot better.
Ooh, there's another person who didn't like it there, huh?
Yeah, this guy, he definitely, you could tell he was more of like a horror buff. You know, even like the shirt he was wearing wasn't just like a Rob Zombie t-shirt. I think he was wearing like a Night of the Living Dead shirt. But yeah, you could tell like he made some references there, you know, to some other horror films that he's seen that he enjoyed more. But at the same time, like I said, I just feel like a lot of people went into this with certain expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, if you didn't like it, didn't like it. That's cool. Yeah. But like,
I don't know what kind of expectation you have to be like, I liked The Running Man better.
now, this is true, man. And that's the thing. And to call the movie boring, I think, was like pretty far-fetched. Like, yeah. I mean, I think it was anything but boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if you want to say, hey, I didn't think it was good or, you know, but I mean, just to be like, hey, this wasn't enough for me. Like, or he's like, I want to see more gore. Like, this is probably like, you know, future serial killers. But hey, these last two girls that we got to interview, they were pretty cool. Check them out.
Yeah, I'd like to check them out. Are they hot?
Here, I got some pictures right here while we listen.
What did you guys think?
I thought that it was bringing it back to the Devil's Reject style, okay, which is more of what I like. I like the action.
Want to talk about the movie?
Yeah, what'd you think?
What'd you awesome. Dug it? Yeah. Awesome, yeah.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, cool. I liked it.
It made me think a lot of like the Running Man and the Warriors, you know, at the different themes.
And his other stuff too.
I agree. I think this is the, you know.
I never saw Lords, but a lot better than like Thousands or Rejects or
Halloween.
Yeah, yeah. I can't say it's even better than Halloween.
Yeah, the remake at least.
Awesome.
Well,
thanks a lot.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Oh, it sounded like everybody wanted to get in on that one.
Oh, absolutely, man. After, you know, what's really funny is like we literally stood there for about 10 minutes. And like I said, the first few people we could tell just kind of walked by because we're like kind of like off in a corner and they're like, what the hell are these guys doing? But, you know, after that one guy stopped and talked, the horror buff, as I call him, you know, that these girls came down pretty much soon after. So they probably saw us like at a length, like seeing that we had the microphone out. And so, you know, I think people were just, you know, and we're just standing. We didn't have a table or anything like that. You know, people are probably a little more like, okay, I know what these guys are doing.
Sure.
But yeah, like, it was cool to hear some more positive. Like I said, like, it's cool. Like, I mean, if the majority of people, but it sounded more like 50-50.
Sure.
You know, like.
Well, no, yeah. you know how it goes, man. People, they'll always take that extra second to stop and complain about something rather than stop and say, hey, let me shoot an email to powerhouroflove@gmail.com and just tell Charboil and El Bandito that they're doing a good job and I like what they do and I like listening to them. No, they don't send a shit. But the one guy who says like, hey, I heard you curse on the little radio station there and I want to complain and say that you are all bad people, you know, he'll email us. So thank you.
You know it, man. You know it. There's always that one that just wants to complain. Yeah. You know, man, and that's a real thorn in my side. Hey, come to think of it, that's the title of the first track of our musical breaks. Here's KTM with Thorn in My Side.
Let me see. I want you to hit me in the face.
What?
I want you to hit me in the face.
And that was KTM with Thorn in My Side.
Yeah, man. That's just a newly released track that they put out last week.
Oh, well, they don't spare any intensity on that one, huh?
Oh, definitely not, man. They are good old-fashioned Florida hardcore metal, like just, you know, balls to the wall fucking...
ass-kicking band.
Oh,
right?
You know it, man. Actually, I saw them a few weeks ago at that Sharky's venue, and yeah, they definitely rock the house, man. You know who's in that band? Jamie Lee from the Church Girls.
Oh yeah, the drummer. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, Jamie, he's like, man, he's got that double kick going, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he's just
oh yeah, man, that shit, like, you know, it's funny. I mean, you know, here we are on like a, you know, prior, you know, primarily punk rock station in Florida, but I mean, a lot of bands that come out here are hardcore metal,
yeah,
more metal even more than even hardcore. But
it, you know why? Because it's the contrasting, you know, because you have all this relaxing Jimmy Buffett style shit at the beach, mm-hmm, and then everyone who can't be at the beach all day just gets fucking pissed off, and then they they rock this hardcore music. I think it suggests something about the duality of man.
Oh man, I, you know, you're probably absolutely right, El Bandito. I mean, it, like I said, just get fed up with all the Jimmy Buffett beach rock stuff. And
I can
just like, we're gonna put a thorn in your side. Yeah.
No, I can tell. It's definitely kind of it's pent up. It's a pent up type of song, and I understand from talking to our first segment. You know, and you listen to the haters out there, right? You know, you'll put on this great movie and this great production and spend all this money and all this time, and you try to make the best product you can for people, and they just don't appreciate it. They just shit all over it and they don't even care, you know?
Uh-huh.
And you know what it makes me think of?
What's that?
You know, the fact that we were on Podunk Radio on podunkradio.com,
uh-huh,
and that we are part of the new Geek Block.
Yes.
And as part of the new Geek Block, we should talk about video games.
Oh, so you mean to tell me you want to talk about a thorn in everybody else's side?
I want to talk about pissed off people bitching for no reason. That's what I want to talk about.
I have a feeling I know where this is going. Take the lead, El Bandito. What's going on in the gaming world?
So it turns out anybody who's everybody is buying this new game, No Man's Sky.
Ah, yes, I've heard of this one.
Yeah, and you've heard of this one. It's the one where you fly around the galaxy and thing like that, and mm-hmm. you go and you mine resources and fix your little ship and fly around and meet little alien races. Yes. And okay, this was promised to be a super awesome game where you'd never go to any two planets that are the same, and you'd meet weird different species of animals on everything like this. And
You know,
this never-ending expansive universe and things. And okay, while I understand in principle, a lot of people feel like they have overstated what they would put into this game.
Mm-hmm.
What did you expect the game to be? They never said, like, you were going to go to Coruscant and meet every alien species on the universe on an entirely city-occupied planet.
Oh,
you know? It's like, this is an indie game company trying to produce a nice game. And I understand, it sucks to spend money on something and not be satisfied with it. But
yeah, when you have high expectations.
Yeah, and then, but you know like, that's like every movie you see at the theater that isn't made by Marvel. You just go and see it and you're let down completely. And you wish you could go and ask for your money back, but you don't, because we live in a society where those kind of things are frowned upon. I mean, when me and Senor Boyle were little kids and we would play the hardest fucking games in the universe. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyone who's under 30, anyone who's under 20.
Yeah.
And you never played an NES game and you never sat there as the only game system that you had and suffered and pained and tore up your thumbs and cracked controllers and threw temper tantrums as like a 10-year-old kid because of the level of difficulty of these NES games. You have no idea of the real struggle of like gaming. You know, when we used to go to the theater and we'd see a great movie like Terminator 2, the classic 1992 film.
Absolutely.
You would go down and say, man, look at this. They have an NES game that is Terminator 2.
So it's got to be good, right?
It has to be good. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's the T-1000. You're a little white stick figure, man, and you walk around with what looks like a cane, and you're like hacking at people. It's so stupid.
It was bad.
And you pay $49.99 for it.
Yep.
You cannot return it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they don't take anything open. No.
Yep. And no trading.
And you know what? You're going to sit there and play that game, and you're going to beat it, no matter if it takes you 17 hours of thumb breaking, because you can't save the fucking game. They didn't have saves back then.
No save. Yeah. You know? Very rarely.
Yeah. Maybe you get a code. They give you a code. It's 74 digits. You know, and you have to write it down in only like 12 seconds because they have a countdown timer and then your code goes away.
But
then you can come back and you can play the game, you know, maybe, and get to the end. And then it will have like one screen that says, congratulations, you win. And then that's it.
No cutscenes.
That was your experience.
No after credit scenes. None of that.
Yeah. So all of you people that say, man, I played 247 hours of Fallout 4 and I'm just bored with the dismal and dreary way. Oh, fuck you. You know, you're getting such a value for your money that it's incomprehensible to the child inside of me who played those terrible games.
You're absolutely right, El Bandito. And it's just a level of like complaining that these people are doing it's unbearable. Like, it's like, come on,
guys. Kind of went on a rant there. I lost my shit a little bit.
No, it was great. You're right, like just the amount of stuff that we dealt with when we were younger, and like, you know, and it sounds like get off my lawn kind of thing, but really come on, guys.
It's
like
it's those first world problems, you know, that I saw a special on TV with Louis C.K. the comedian, and he was talking about the modern day smartphones.
Okay.
That he sits in airports all the time and he sees people on their smartphone just going like, this smartphone is such a piece of shit. It never works. This is a fucking magic connection to the internet that can tell you several web pages. You can watch movies on it. You can play games. You can do all that. But it's not good enough for you. It's not fast enough for you, you know?
Yeah, where 10 years ago, like, you would have been sitting on your ass at home, you know, to do any of that stuff.
Or back in the day when you used to have to write a letter... You know, you could mail it to someone.
20 years ago.
And 20 years ago. Think 100 years ago when they had to write a letter and maybe the mail carrier took it out to California. Maybe your relatives died of diphtheria already over there and they never get your letter because they're dead. Okay, we need to play another track to calm down. What have we got up next?
All right, next up we got that Promise track by the Church Girls, which I'm sure most of the complaining players of No Man's Sky are saying, As I Die Slowly.
I'd like to die slowly just thinking about it. And the soothing sounds of Natasha with the Church Girls is just the thing to calm me down. That's one of their latest hits, As I Die Slowly.
Definitely, man. Church Girls are definitely making their rounds recently. They're going to be down at Respectable Street Cafe for their 29th anniversary, which we'll talk more about during our events section.
Is it like 29 years?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. They've been around for a long time.
I didn't realize the Church Girls were that old.
Oh. Well, that's taking place on September 10th, but then the Church Girls are going to pop up on September 17th up at the Stamp with our friends in Sharptooth and Nation of Decay.
Awesome.
So definitely be sure to check. And that is a free show. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff going on. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on real quick in the music world. You know, we got the Misfits reunion just happened in early September. It went really well. I saw some videos from up in Denver.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And yeah, they you know, they played 25 songs, which took up about an hour.
Wow.
You know, for Misfits, you know, about 2 minutes a song. But yeah,
they, plus they did it in Denver. I'm surprised it wasn't an hour and a half.
Mile High City. But yeah, the you know, they so far Jerry Only, the bassist, who's always been the more you know, guys, oh, this will go on forever. You know, he said that, you know, oh yeah, we're gonna try to keep it going. You know, and but no word yet from Glenn Danzig. But he seemed to be having a good time up there on the stage. So that'd be great if they actually come through on a tour. Just to mention, Green Jello was recently on the internet news on Reddit Music. Someone had posted the Three Little Pigs video.
Nice,
and it got pushed up to like the number one spot on the Reddit music.
Really?
For almost like 12 hours.
Wow.
So a big accomplishment for Bill and Green Jello.
Yeah. How's he doing, by the way? Any word on his medical conditions? I know he was electrocuted that one day. And
yeah, he had the electric issue, and then his wife actually was missing for a few days there, but they found her, and then she was in the hospital.
That was not me. I had nothing to do with that.
But yeah, it's so far so good. It seems like he's, you know, everyone's back home and recuperating. And I know he's been selling a lot of older Green Jello merchandise and stuff to help kind of offset medical bills and stuff. So be sure to look on his Facebook page, everybody, and check that out. But
yeah, pick up some classic stuff. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it is some cool stuff. I think even Bill was doing a thing on there where like he'll do a Green Jello song for your band or with your band for, of course, X amount of money, you know.
Yeah, but no, that's awesome, though. Who cares what it costs? Hey.
Exactly. So lots of cool stuff going out there in the music world, you know, especially in the punk rock, puppet punk rock area. But I got to tell you, El Bandito, you know, a few weekends ago, got to check out that show down in E.R. Bradley's that we were talking about with Kegasaurus Rex. And
yeah.
You know, that was being put on by Pat Thorne, our good friend from Carol Stop Callin' and Stoked Florida Shows.
Absolutely.
And I got to tell you, man, I'd never been to E.R. Bradley's, but dude, what a cool little place. You know, I mean, I call it little, but they have like five bars in there and they serve good food. We got me and Justin McPatches got some appetizers, really good Bloody Marys, nice stage in the inside for the bands. But actually, there was a Kegasaurus Rex and Blind Sound, which, you know, we played, you know, a few months ago. So it was good to see those guys too.
Yeah, that's funny because, you know, E.R. Bradley's to me, I don't know why, that name always kind of sounds like Dave and Buster's to me. Like I would expect there to be like video games and stuff.
You know, it's funny. I kind of thought the same thing. I thought it was going to be a more like a theme place, but it is. It's kind of just, it's right down, it's at the end of Clematis on, you know, the water side.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of foot traffic, which was cool too. So people are just coming in and checking it out.
Nice.
As well as people that were definitely there for the show too. And there was a couple vendors there. Lots of nice people. They had some really cool raffle stuff. I know Justin McPatch has put in a raffle item, as well as like Maximum Entertainment and a few other people.
Nice.
So there was some really cool raffle items. And like I said, I got to talk to guys in Kegasaurus Rex. We did get an interview with them, which will probably air at a later date. But I got to tell you, man, one of the highlights of my night, I got to meet Joe Wyman, formerly of the Scorpions.
No way.
Yeah, I guess he heard that this show was going on and, you know, all the good stuff that they were trying to do for autism. And he wanted to come check it out. So, yeah,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, he came on down and he did an interview with me, which
so you got to talk to him and
I got to ask him all kinds of questions. So if you don't mind, man, I'd like to play this interview for the listeners.
Oh yeah, let's fire it up. I'm sure with the local weather, everyone's ready to rock it like a hurricane.
Here we go.
All right, hey, this is Charbel from Charbel on El Bandito's Power Hour of Love on Podunk Radio. With me is Justin McPatches.
Hey there, how's it going, everybody out there?
And we also have Joel Lehman formerly of the Scorpions. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us. Why don't you tell us a little bit of stories from like back in the days with the Scorpions?
Well, back when I think I just turned 20, I was, which was probably 72, 73, I was traveling through Europe and wanted to make some extra money. So there's a magazine called The Melody Maker, which I filled out made an ad, and a couple bands responded. And this band, The Scorpions, responded also. And I asked a few people, and they said, oh, yeah, The Scorpions are up and coming, so definitely check them out. So I did. And I auditioned, and they grabbed me right away, only because if you know they're from Germany, they also if you want to make it in the world in the you know music, you gotta do it in English. You know, you know your lyrics have to be in English. So they were happy to get somebody that spoke English, and I you know helped them out with the some lyrics. And I wasn't in a band very long, only because back then they didn't make enough money for me to support myself, and I had an apartment in. And I actually lived in Hanover, Germany, which is, you know, where the two main guys, Rudolf Schenker and Klaus Mein, both of them are, you know, Hanover, Germany is their hometown. So To make the long story short, eventually I came back to the States about 10 years later, and it took him about 10 years. I finally listened to, I heard the song on the radio, and I go, oh, my God, they finally made it. You know, because Klaus has a voice that you just, you know, when you hear... When you hear a Scorpion song, you know it's them by Klaus's voice. So they finally made it. And being like, they kind of made me an honorary member of the band. So anytime they come to the U.S. or really I can see them anywhere in the world, I can go backstage and I can hang out with them.
That's awesome.
I just call their manager, and their manager will make sure I have tickets. But I actually get to go backstage, which is really cool.
That's very cool.
And hang out with them and talk. And
absolutely. Now, what are you doing nowadays? Do you still do some drumming, or is it what have you been up to now?
Well, I still drum. I teach drums. And I'm in, I think, 4 or 5 different local bands. And I play once in a while out. Nothing as crazy as the Scorpions in that capacity. But just, small clubs around town. So I'm still doing that. And I also, I'm in a hat business now. I own this hat business. It's called Nandita's Magic Hats. And the hats, they're magic for a couple reasons. They kind of move around your head. You know, you can put it on one side or the other side, or move it forward and make a little brim, or go straight back. And they also flip inside out.
Whoa,
so you get two hats for the price of one. And
that's awesome.
They're all handmade in Indonesia, so we're helping out 3 Indonesian families. They're made in their homes. It's hand-dyed 100% cotton fabric. So it's all handmade.
Very good.
Awesome. Do you have a website where some of our listeners would be able to come take a look at them?
I do, and I've got to think of the spelling. It's NINDHITAS.sells, which is SELZ.com.
Okay. Do you guys have a Facebook page as well?
Yes, just look up Nandita's Magic Hats, and you should be able to find it. And you can also find me, Joe Wyman. I'll have a picture of the Scorpions on my page here, and also I'm playing drums on my profile picture. But exciting news is that I'm actually, last time the Scorpions were in the U.S., which was a couple months ago, I went to 3 of their concerts, hung out with them, and they loved the hats. You know, that's the awesome. Managers loved the hats. In fact, I gave them all a bunch of hats out to the band. And so I said, well, how about if I develop a special Scorpions hat for you? So that's in the works right now, and I'm really excited about that. It's going to have their logos and everything. So it'll be, I got official permission from both Klaus and Rudolph, and both of their managers to go ahead with the project. So hopefully in a couple months I'll have a finished product.
There you go.
That sounds great. And, yeah, we definitely look forward to seeing that. Do you have any upcoming shows with some of the other bands that you're playing around town?
I will be at Double Roads Tavern, which is in Jupiter, November 23rd, the day before Thanksgiving, with one of my favorite bands to play with, because we get to really kick butt.
And
it's all classic, you know, rock and roll. It's not original or anything like that, but it keeps me in shape, and I have a lot of fun, and I just love the drum. I have a passion for it, so.
And that's what it's about, passion and just loving the music and doing your thing. That's awesome.
Very much, and thank you so much for your time tonight. And yeah, we very much look forward to seeing the upcoming shows and the new Scorpion hats and stuff. And once again, just thank you so much for giving us the opportunity for this interview.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, Senor, that was a truly awesome interview. That was Joe Wyman, formerly of the Scorpions, huh?
Yes, yeah. Joe was very nice to take the time, while the rock and show was going on down at E.R. Bradley's, to step outside with me and Justin and share those few minutes. So yeah, definitely, as Joe mentioned, be sure to check him out on Facebook, and that will link off to his website, where you can look at some of those awesome hats.
Yeah, you're going to have to show me that website because I'd love to check these out. I definitely want to see a scorpion's hat. Does it have like a big scorpion's tail? It's going to sting people?
I think he was more kind of going with the logo of the band, but aren't out yet. He's working on those, okay. But he did get the, as he said, the official permission. So nice. Those will be coming real soon. So, you know, with that being said, man, I think it's time for another musical break. So here we have The Adventures of Dwayne and Brando with Runaway 5.
Have I got a bombshell for you tonight, kids? Kaboom! The Runaway 5! I'm working for the man ever since I came to town. A sucker can't say that cause the man has got me down. 10,000 in the hole now and I'm trying not to complain. But it's hard to find a lady here with a pocket full of change. It's like, where you going to, baby? Don't you see my dance moves?
That was The Adventures of Dwayne and Brando with the incredibly smooth sound of Runaway 5.
Oh, yeah, man. I dig that track, man. It's a little bit of a departure for, like, you know, the usual Dwayne and Brando, you know, rap rock kind of feel. But, man, like, so funky and so jazz and stuff. It's great.
Yeah, and I can't believe that's a live cut of it, too, man. Those guys are talented. Everyone, that whole band they had there, you know, Dwayne and Brando, just to be able to run through that live, that's hot, man.
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, and, you know, even when they performed that song live at Green Jello, Brando broke out the harmonica during that that breakdown part. I know we caught some really good pictures of that. And, yeah, those guys are super talented, man. You know I know they've been talking about, you know, maybe doing some more touring soon, so we can't wait for that. And, you know, pretty soon we're going to get them here and do an interview with them.
Absolutely. But speaking of you know, acts on tour and things like that, what kind of exciting events do we have this month, Senor Boyle?
Well, first up, we got a little mention of this earlier, but just to fill everybody in, Saturday, September 10th, we have Respectable Street Cafe's 29th year anniversary at Respectable Street Cafe in West Palm Beach. This is a free event. It's starting up at 6 p.m. and going all the way to 3 a.m. You know how it is in West Palm. You're out late, you're partying good. You know, featuring Dan Deacon, The Sensitive, The Church Girls, and many more.
Ooh, that sounds like quite a lineup there.
You know it. And like I said, there's lots of bands playing. 29 years, man. Next year's big 30 for Respectable Street. I wonder what they're going to do then.
Well, I think bars are very much like women's. You know, they just stay 29 every year.
That's true. That's true. Well, I know last year for their 28th, they had the Misfits.
Oh, yeah, man. Anytime you can have the Misfits in your place, man, you're rocking the house down.
You know it, man. So what's coming up next, El Bandito?
Ooh, well, you know, considering we are on our brand new Geek Block here, we have a pretty exciting new event.
What's that?
On September 16th through the 18th, we have the Treasure Coast Comic Con.
Oh, really? That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's right here in Port St. Lucie. It's going to be at the Port St. Lucie Civic Center, and they have a pretty amazing lineup of guests coming right here to the Treasure Coast.
What guests are going to be there, El Bandito?
Well, they have Anna Gavin.
Okay.
They have Roger Cross.
Oh, okay.
And they have the amazing Billy West.
Oh, Billy West is going to be there?
Yeah, now I'm a super huge fan of Billy West. He is such a talented guy. He did the original voices of Ren and Stimpy, and he did like freaking 10 characters on Futurama.
Absolutely.
He played the voice of Fry, the voice of Professor Farnsworth, the voice of Dr. Zoidberg, the voice of Zap Brannigan. I mean, wow. He was just everybody who was everybody on the show, and I had the opportunity to meet him a few years ago at MegaCon.
I remember that. Yeah,
and
he was cool.
An incredibly nice guy, and you know, a lot of voice actors, I always feel bad if I meet, you know, famous peoples and things like this. You feel like you're kind of bothering them sometimes, you know? And I remember standing in line being like, boy, it would be really cool to hear him talk in the voice of one of the characters. But, you know, you kind of hate to ask that.
Sure, sure.
But a person right in front of me in line, he bought a print from him, had him sign and everything. And he said, hey, Mr. West, it will mean so much to me if you could say goodbye to me in the voice of Fry from Futurama.
Yeah.
And Billy West was like, oh, man. He's like, you know, I can't just, you know, do the voice of Fry, you know? And the guy kind of looked disappointed for a second. And Billy West pulled up a thing of the prints that he had, and he went through Fry's voice, Dr. Zoidberg's, you know, Professor Farnes, just every voice that he did on the show. No. And he ran through every single one saying goodbye to this guy.
That's awesome. Yeah. I know I was standing right there too, but I was probably checking out some cosplayers, but I wish I would have heard that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know he said it good and loud, so the first like couple of rows of people there could hear him, and man, it was just so cool. Like, what a super nice guy. So, you know, I'm going to definitely make a special stop down to the Treasure Coast Comic Con so I can see Senor Billy West again, and I think all of you should too. That's Saturday, September 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Port St. Lucie Civic Center. And if that's not enough, they have a couple of exciting vendors there as well, including the author Keith Rommel.
Oh, Keith. Okay, yeah, he's really good.
And our wonderful sponsor, Big Dog Comics.
Oh, man, Captain Joel, Big Dog Comics. That's a win-win right there. He's worth it just to go down there and see Joel.
Absolutely. Go ask him to tell you a story, but make sure that you have about 45 to 80 minutes.
We love you, Big Dog Comics.
So go down there, see all the amazing talent that they have there, and go see all the amazing vendors because they have many, many more.
Oh, man. Well, if that's not enough, El Bandito, Friday, September 16th, Morbid Movies presents Evil Dead's 35th anniversary.
Groovy.
This is my boomstick.
That's going to be at Movies of Lake Worth, down in Lake Worth. It's only $10 and starting at 9:30. I got to tell you, man, of all the movies that they've done so far, I'm most excited about this. Not just because it's the 35th, but, you know, it's the one that started it all.
Absolutely, man. It's like the quintessential B-horror movie.
Oh, you know it, man.
That
I
is
love
like
it.
The ultimate cult classic.
Oh, man, it started the career of all those guys, Sam Raimi included. Mm-hmm. You know, he went on to do Darkman and all, Spider-Man trilogy and all the, you know, all the other movies he's made since then. Of course, Bruce Campbell, you know.
And that's the thing. So many people, they look and they say, boy, you know, you have punk rock.
Yeah.
You have underground horror. You have the geek block. What do all these things have to do with one another? You have the power hour of love. You know, it all boils back to Sam Raimi.
Now, this is true, man. I mean, you know. Yeah.
He inspires all of us, and all we do is love him.
Yes, sir. And of course, you know, coming soon, you know, Ash versus Evil Dead Season 2 starting up on Stars. But yes, before any of that happens, once again, Evil Dead 35th anniversary, Morbid Movies. Check them out, morbidmovies.com, on Facebook, all that good stuff. Be there September 16th, one night only.
We'll see you there.
Oh, yeah.
But the following night, on Saturday, September 17th, they're going to have Bubble Fest down in Clematis.
Oh, man, Clematis is rocking this month.
Oh, man, that's West Palm Beach for you. But if that wasn't enough, this event is actually going to be sponsored by Podunk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's a free show, but they are looking for a $5 donation at RSC for charity. There's 25 bands on 5 different stages featuring Stargazer Lilies, Armageddon Man, Bluebird, Whiskey. Senor Boyle, help me out with that one.
That's the Whiskey Whales.
Okay, that one doesn't translate into Spanish that well. But they have the Whiskey Whales and many, many more.
Definitely, man. Yeah, it's going to be a good time down there for Bumblefest. You know, it's a Pure Honey's event. You know, they're celebrating their 5th anniversary as well, just like Podunk did a month ago. So, you know, definitely it's going to be a good time. You know, West Palm Beach, Clematis, we love it down there. Always rocking late into the night. Great pizza joints. Also, you can pick up, you know, always like a hot dog or a gyro or whatever. You know, there's good eats, there's good drinks, there's good times, good bands. Be there. Bumblefest, sponsored by Podunk Radio.
Well, with that, I think it's time for our final musical break.
And this one's going to tie in with the Morbid Movie's Evil Dead 35th anniversary. Here we have MC Lars and Whitey Cracker with Bruce Campbell.
Wait, what's that noise? Whitey Cracker, are those zombies?
Zombies in the studio.
This is our horrorcore song because it's got zombies on it.
Sounds like a horrorcore song.
You know who should get on this track to help us out?
I'm thinking Zealous One and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Heck yeah.
What should we call it, Lars?
I think we should call it Bruce Campbell.
I'm a terrifying sight, with little bits of bloody flesh stuck to my mind. I will ruin you, reduce you to a puddle where you stand, once I tear into your torso with my cold dead hands. Blood, sweat, and tears from your wounds start spewing. Fill a water bottle, swallow all your bodily fluids. You were nailed to a wall, full of holes like a dartboard.
Still think you're hardcore?
Bow to your dark lord.
Splatter from the axe turns a blue shirt red.
Severed head in a vice inside of my work shed.
Dead heads get brains,
in heads get chains.
I annihilate you, then I violate your remains.
You choked and you froze cause you got so scared.
Toss your body in the cellar,
I hope you rot down there.
Whereupon your meat screams, awful goblins feed.
Lead death,
but never mind the act, just bleed.
Get on the floor and do the Bruce Campbell.
Get on the mic, whack the chop like a candle.
4 MCs for more than you can handle.
Get
to the Bruce Campbell.
Get on the floor and do the Bruce Campbell.
Get on the mic, whack the chop like a candle.
4 MCs for more than you can handle.
Protect your neck and do the Bruce Campbell.
Brains, not the kind that you get in the back of a car at the drive-in, but the kind way to hide in a bin. Laid up in a creaky house where the people shout, not a living dead instead. Boom, moon rising, they're surprising every chick with a shirt torn.
Got a bullet in my head, and 37 more from the buckshot spread. Suicidal thoughts like frost in your spine. The dragon won't sleep till your soul's all mine. Cut the flesh, blood spiller will entice me. I promise when I carve my name, I'll do it very nicely. Precisely, show your ladies I'm the best at this. I got them screaming for the zealous and the sexist. Don't mess with this, you just can't hide. Ain't gonna stop till the knife's inside. Twist to the left, let me see your eyes. Twist to the right, I wanna taste you die. I stalk MCs who are not believers. Make a microphone stand out of both the femurs. I love screamers, so uh-oh, let's go. Give me some sugar, baby, and do the Bruce Campbell.
Jeffrey Dahmer, here's my story. You abhor me, you deplore me, much too gory. Violent glory, but this never would've happened if you hadn't ignored me. You laughed at me in my fat retainer. Now your son's stew is frozen in my refrigerator. You just said hello when I passed in the hall. I wouldn't be snacking on your dead boyfriend Paul. It's just another day at the Ambassador Hotel. Milwaukee's best travel bargain, please ignore cell. Shrunken heads, severed limbs, I'm mad belligerent. Murderous cannibal, far from innocent. The Dahmer dinner party is the best, it's true. And everywhere I go, I'll take a part of you. There's a key downstairs and your name's on it. I'll get the stains out, you bring the comet.
Get on the floor and do the Bruce Campbell.
Get on the mic, light the chop like a candle.
4 MCs for more than you can handle.
Do the Bruce Campbell.
Get on the floor and do the Bruce Campbell.
Get on the mic, light the chop like a candle.
Like a candle,
four MCs.
And reaching back into the vault, we have Do the Bruce Campbell by MC Lars and Whitey Cracker.
Oh, yeah, El Bandito. That one is going way back. I'd say about 10 years now.
Really? Wow.
Absolutely, man. But, you know, being that we have Evil Dead coming at its 35th anniversary through Morbid Movies, we had to just do the Bruce Campbell one more time.
One more time for the ladies.
And speaking of the ladies, man, why don't you tell the ladies where they can get in touch with us?
Well, all you beautiful people out there can get in touch with us at powerhouroflove@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on our Facebook page. Go ahead and like our page or leave us a comment. Let us know about any love problems that you may be having, so maybe wanting Senor Boyle and El Bandito to answer for you, and otherwise, we will see you next time.
Absolutely. Here we are at Charboyle and El Bandito's Power Hour of Love on Podunk Radio during its new Geek Block on Thursday nights. Have a good one, El Bandito. Yeah.
I don't understand. Things were going so great, but what happened? Something must have happened.
It's not you. It's me.
Listen. I was thinking we should break up or whatever.
I am breaking up with you.
Consider that a divorce.